Grahinita yadyat upabandham amosyamata. Grahanita yadyat upabandham amosyamata. Shulabham sutasya natutad tadamosyamati. Yajrambhatosya vadane bhuvanani gopi. Yajrambhatosya vadane bhuvanani gopi. Samviksha sankita manaha pratibodhitastasit. Samviksha sankita manaha pratibodhitase. Grahanita yadyat upabandham amosyamata. Shulabham sutasya natutad amosyamati. Yajrambhatosya vadane bhuvanani gopi. Samviksha sankita manaha pratibodhitase. Grahanita, by taking up, yat yat, whatsoever, upabandham, ropes for tying, amusya, his, mata, mother, shulabham, ropes, sutasya, of her son, na, not, tu, however, tat tat, by and by, amusya, his, mati, was sufficient, yat, that which, jrimbhata, opening the mouth, asya, of him, vadane, in the mouth, bhuvanani, the worlds, gopi, the cowherd woman, samvikshya, so seeing it. Sankitamanaha, doubtful in mind. Pratibodhita, convinced in a different way. Asit, was so done. Translation. When the cowherd woman, Krishna's foster mother Yashoda, was trying to tie the hands of her son with ropes, she found the rope to be always insufficient in length, and when she finally gave up, Lord Krishna, by and by, opened his mouth, wherein the mother found all the universes situated. Seeing this, she was doubtful in her mind, but she was convinced in a different manner of the mystic nature of her son. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One day, Lord Krishna, as a naughty child, disturbed his mother Yashoda, and she began to tie up the child with ropes, just to punish him. But no matter how much rope she used, she found it always insufficient. Thus, she became fatigued. But in the meantime, the Lord opened his mouth, and the affectionate mother saw within the mouth of her son all the universes situated together. The mother was astonished, but out of her deep affection for Krishna, she thought that the Almighty Godhead Narayan had kindly looked after her son just to protect him from all the continuous calamities happening to him. Because of her deep affection for Krishna, she could never think that her very son was Narayan, the personality of Godhead himself. That is the action of Yoga Maya, the internal potency of the Supreme Lord, which acts to perfect all the pastimes of the Lord and His different types of devotees. Who could play such wonders without being God? Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Aripriye Vancha Kalpataro Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Pajidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'd like to welcome all of you all to today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today is the most auspicious appearance day of Shripad Ramanujacharya. Also, today happens to be the closest weekend towards Ram Navami. And also, today's theme is Krishna Leela in the second canto. So I was wondering, how do I do justice to all these things? And I realized that there is a progression of love. And that's what we're going to be discussing today. So how these pastimes of Ram, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are actually in a progression. And that's what we'll be trying to analyze and understand today. What is the progression of love? So before we get into that, I'll just start with one very sweet pastime of Ramanujacharya, which actually talks about our qualification, or rather lack of qualification, and how we become qualified to hear all these subjects. One time, a lot of devotees visited a place known as Madhurantakam. Madhurantakam is a place where there is a temple of Lord Ram, and it's said that Lord Ram and Lakshman built a sort of a dam to prevent a lake from flooding. So now, while these devotees are visiting this place, Madhurantakam, they cooked their prasad on the banks of the lake, and after that, they were washing their hands and mouth. And one particular devotee washed his mouth, and he spat out the water. When he spat that water out, it fell on a lizard that was roaming around there. Because the water from the mouth of a pure devotee, such a great devotee, fell on a lizard, that lizard in his next life became a person named Yadav Prakash, who eventually becomes a guru of Ramanujacharya. So now, Ramanujacharya was born in a place known as Sri Parambattur, close to Kanchipuram, and then eventually he became a disciple of Yadav Prakash. Now, Yadav Prakash was a grammar teacher. He was teaching Sanskrit and he was teaching Vyakaran and all that. But he was an impersonalist by his practice. And while Yadav Prakash was explaining something, there was one particular word that he was trying to explain the meaning of. And Ramanujacharya happened to be there. And this word was called as Kapyasi. Kapyasi. Kapi means, so it can be interpreted in different ways. So this person, so this refers to the eyes of the Lord, the lotus eyes of the Lord. And it is said that the Lord's eyes have a reddish tinge in it. So this person, to explain what is the meaning of this word Kapyasi, he gave a very graphic example. He said Kapi means monkey, and Asi means the backside of a monkey. And he said, the backside of a monkey is red in color. That is the color of the Lord's eyes. Now what a horrible explanation, isn't it? Ramanujacharya began to cry. He was really pained by this kind of an explanation of his guru, of his teacher. And Ramanujacharya explained to him, you're wrong. This is not the right way to explain. And then Ramanujacharya went on to explain the meaning of the word Kapyasi in the right way. And he said, it actually means the one who brings water. And that is the sun. The sun brings water to us. The sun brings water to a lotus. So, the lotus blossoms by the potency of the sun. And therefore the Lord's eyes are compared to a lotus and not a monkey. So Yadav Prakash, obviously he understood that this is the right meaning, but his ego was hurt a lot. And he decided to really trouble Ramanujacharya for kind of putting him down in front of all the students. Eventually the envy that Yadav Prakash held in his heart towards Ramanujacharya became so high. At one point he wanted to kill Ramanujacharya. He even attempted a murder to his own disciple. Much later, many years later, Yadav Prakash, he felt very bad for whatever he did. He had a change of heart. He went to his own father and he asked his father, what do I do to repent for my mistakes I have done, for all the trouble I have caused Ramanujacharya? And his father told him, the only thing you can do for all the trouble you have given Ramanujacharya is go around the world 3 times. And he said, you know, how is it even practical to go around the world 3 times? In those days, there were no flights and trains and all. So he was really feeling bad. How do I go around the world 3 times to repent for my sin? And that is when Varadaraj, the deity of Kanchipuram, he appeared in the dream of this person and gave him an alternative. He said, for me, the entire world is Ramanujacharya. He said, go around him 3 times. It's as good as going around the whole world. And by the instructions of Varadaraj, this person went around his own disciple 3 times. And he achieved freedom from all the sin, and eventually he became the disciple of Ramanujacharya. So, you know, this story goes on to tell about 2-3 things. One is, first of all, for us to become a devotee, there is no effort from our side. This person was a lizard in his previous life, and somebody spat on him. I mean, you know, how do you even, you know, have a logical explanation? Somebody spat on you and you got a human life in the next life. And then he didn't even take advantage of the human life. When he got the human life, he insulted his such an exalted person like Ramanuja. And on top of that, you know, he didn't know how to make the best of it. And Varadaraj himself came and gave him a solution, basically. So essentially, in all, our effort is nothing in going back to the spiritual world. The Lord and His devotees do so many things to help us achieve perfection. And that's the theme that we're going to be talking about today. How the Lord and His devotees are scheming, are putting together a lot of ways in which they can give us perfection of life. Of the many names of the Lord, one of the names of the Lord is known as Dhata. The word Dhata means the seed giver. So, in the Ramayana, we find this story where Vishwamitra Muni was doing a yajna. And to protect that yajna, Vishwamitra Muni calls Ram and Lakshman to help him. So Ram and Lakshman come all the way from Ayodhya to Siddhashram, Vishwamitra Muni's ashram. And they are protecting the yajna. So, how did the Ram and Lakshman protect the yajna? There is a very interesting explanation given by the acharyas. Kamba Muni, in his Kamba Ramayana, he gives a very beautiful analogy. He says, Ram and Lakshman were protecting the yajna of Vishwamitra Muni, just like the upper eyelid and lower eyelid are protecting the eyeballs. So now, why does Kamba give such an example? And our eyelids protect the eyeballs, right, inside. But why this particular example for this yajna? It is explained that Ram was like the upper eyelid and Lakshman was like the lower eyelid. Just like the upper eyelid is bigger than the lower eyelid, similarly, Ram is bigger than Lakshman. It is explained that Ram is 8 feet in height. That is the height of Lord Ram. And Lakshman was 7 feet in height. So this analogy is pretty apt, you know, just the upper eyelid is Ram and the lower eyelid is Lakshman. And they were guarding the yajna kund, which is like the eyeballs. And just like the upper eyelid and lower eyelid, so if you see the upper eyelid moves up and down, but the lower eyelid is stationary, it doesn't move. Similarly, during the protection of the yajna, Lakshman was standing in one place, but Ram was going around the whole yajna kund, coming back and touching Lakshman, going back, coming back, you know. And the third reason is that just like the eyelids immediately, suppose something is coming to hit you, immediately your eyelids close, right? Any sort of danger, immediately your eyelids close. Similarly, Ram and Lakshman, the moment there is any kind of danger to the yajna, immediately they protect the yajna from being destroyed. So like this, they were protecting for 6 days. And 6 days there was no problem at all. On the 7th day, Marich, Subahu and all the demons came and they began to throw all kinds of abominable substances into the yajna. And that time, Ram killed Subahu and all the other demons and he left Marich. He shot him 700 miles into the ocean and left him alive. So the acharyas explained, why did Ram leave this fellow alive, you know? So there is a very interesting book known as Manju Ramayana, in which there is a person whose name is Villur Swami. He writes a very interesting commentary on why Ram left this fellow alive, Marich alive. It says, Ram thought, that Ramayana is like a Kalpavriksha tree. The whole Ramayana is like a Kalpavriksha tree. The Kalpavriksha tree can fulfill all your desires. Whatever you want, the desire can be fulfilled by the Kalpavriksha tree. So just like the Kalpavriksha tree gives you whatever you want, if you just stand under it and wish. Similarly, anyone reading the Ramayana will get whatever they want. So Ram wanted this Kalpavriksha tree to grow very nicely. But if Marich is killed right now, how will the Ramayana grow? Ramayana will get over there only, right? Story is over if Marich is dead. How will Sita get kidnapped? How will Ravan use Marich? And so the whole story gets over with Marich. Therefore, Ram buried Marich like a seed inside the ocean. So just like a seed eventually grows when it is buried, similarly, the Ramayana, the Kalpavriksha tree of the Ramayana eventually grows because the seed named Marich is buried. Just like when this universe is created, it is said that Lord Vishnu buries Brahma like a seed in the Mula Prakriti. And from the seed called Brahma manifests the entire universe. And therefore, because the Lord is the seed giver, He knows which seed to plant and which seed will fructify into something big. Similarly, in our lives also, the Lord has so many plans. He might plant one seed in our hearts, and that seed will fructify into something very, very big later. Much later, when Ram reached the Dakaranya forest, there was a group of sages who were known as the sages of Dandakaranya. And they see Ram, Lakshman and Sita walking into the forest. So the sages, one of the sages, he communicates to all the sages in the community that Ram is come. He runs around, says, he's here, he's here. So all the sages run from all directions and they come to the direction which this sage is pointing out. And all their eyes are looking towards one direction. Very, very far away from where they were, they could see something unbelievable. You know what they saw? They saw a green light coming towards them. It is explained that Lord Ram was greenish golden in color. That was the color of Lord Ram. It is said, when you crush Markata Mani is a green type of jewel. When you crush it into powder and mix that green powder with molten gold, gold which is melted, that combination is the color of Lord Ram's body. It's greenish gold in color, basically. And when Lord Ram was walking towards them, he was walking in the forest, Sita and Lakshman walking along with him, the effulgence from the body of Lord Ram was shimmering on all the trees in the surrounding. So imagine, you know, from far away the sages are looking and they can only see a green effulgence walking towards them. All the trees in the vicinity are becoming golden green in color, you know. That's what we call as Brahma Jyoti. You know, that's what is called Brahma Tej, basically. And the sages are so fascinated seeing that brilliance of that light. And all the sages, from that distance, they offer obeisances to Lord Ram. And the sages began to glorify Lord Ram. One sage says, he is Dharmachari. That means he is upholder of Dharma. Whatever we have been praying for the destruction of all the demons, he is here. Another sage looks at Sita and he says, she is Yashaswini. That means she is ensurer of victory. So that she has accompanied Dharma, which means she is going to be the catalyst of the destruction of the demonic forces. Another sage. So these sages are feeling like a calf that has seen its mother. So these sages are feeling like a shipwrecked traveler that has finally, desperately found a boat. And what is that boat? The boat is the lotus feet of Lord Ram. And as they were observing Lord Ram's walking, they realized not only were they fascinated, all the animals in the trees in the vicinity also were equally fascinated. All the birds and animals were looking at Ram only. And then somebody says, one of the sages says, he is the one who does justice to the word Rupa. Rupa means beauty, right? Though Ram's body is not decorated at all, he looks so beautiful. Mostly ornaments are used to beautify a person, but the ornaments become beautiful when they are in touch with Ram. Another sage said, he is the perfection of the word Samahanana. What is the meaning of the word Samahanana? Samahanana means someone whose body parts are symmetrical. Our body parts are not exactly symmetrical, you know, it's all strangely organized. So Ram, every part of his body is perfectly symmetrical. And therefore there is no flaw in his construction. And not only that, he is also known as Lavanya. Lavanya means there is effulgence emanating from his body. Another sage says, look at the structure of his body. It is impossible for a person to have strength and be delicate at the same time. So they say Ram is so delicate, he is known as Sokumarya. That means he is as delicate as a blooming flower. But it seems almost that if a breeze blows, this flower will wither away. But at the same time, he is as powerful as a thunderbolt. Another sage says, forget all that. He is Suvesha. Suvesha means perfectly dressed. So he says, we have been wearing the same dress for so many years. You know, I have been wearing this dress for 500 years. Which dress? Deer skin on top and tree bark below. But he says, I have never been able to figure out how to wear this dress properly. But look at him, how he is wearing the dress. It feels that this is the most perfect way of wearing the dress. Usually, when someone is wearing an upper garment and a lower garment, they have to have some match, right? But a tree bark and deer skin, they have no match. It's different textures, different colors, different type of garments. But when Ram wears it, they look so perfect. And then somebody says, I am going mad by that one shoulder of Ram that is not covered. Why did Ram not cover that shoulder and left it blank, you know? So Ram was wearing a deer skin like this, and one shoulder was open, you know. So he's saying, I don't understand why Ram left that shoulder blank. I'm not able to handle it, you know. So like this, all these sages were meditating on Lord Ram, and Lord Ram appears in front of them. And Lord Ram is so happy seeing these sages. The moment he enters the ashram of the sages, he takes out his bow, unstrings the bow, and ties the string on the bow. So usually when the Kshatriya goes into the ashram of a sage, they unstring the bow to indicate that here there is no danger. So Lord Ram did that, and the sages took him into the ashram, showing him all the different places in the community. And at the end of the whole beautiful community, there was a huge heap of bones. Ram was shocked. He said, in such a pure place, why is such a heap of bones here? The sages tell him that these are the bones of all the sages only. The demons have troubled us so much. You know, suddenly they come and pull away one hand and take away. Suddenly they come and pull away the ears and take away. So like this, they are really troubling all of us. So the sages say, we don't know what to do. We have just preserved all these bones for you to come and see. And you figure out what has to be done. And immediately Ram, he takes a vow that I will annihilate all the demons and protect the sages. Lord Ram, when he takes his vow, the sages become so happy. They start cheering and they start glorifying the Lord. As the sages are happy, cheering and glorifying the Lord, Mother Sita, who is also with them, she feels a little sad. It's amazing how Sita's personality in the Ramayana is that of compassion. Even if someone troubles her, she believes in forgiving them. So Sita, Eventually, she asks Lord Ram, why did you take such a vow? We are supposed to be living life of ascetics. But why did you take such a vow? So the point is, Ram realizes that in front of Sita, I cannot kill anybody. Because Sita is so compassionate, then even when she sees a demon who has troubled them, Sita will not allow that person to be killed. Like for example, Shurpanaka comes and meets Lord Ram. And when Shurpanaka comes to meet Lord Ram, it is said at that particular point in time, Ram was 37 years old. And Bhavabhuti, he explains the age of Shurpanaka in a very interesting way. He says, Aneka Yuga Jeevanyam Treta Yuga Trayodashi. Which means, this was the 13th Treta Yuga of Shurpanaka. Then what was her age? She had lived for 13 Treta Yugas already. And this was the 13th one. That means, so one Chaturyuga is technically about 43,20,000 years. Multiply that into 13. That's the age of Shurpanaka. What is the comparison? You know, Shurpanaka is saying a perfect match between me and Ram. You know. So then, of course, Ram tells Lakshman. So Shurpanaka tries to attack Ram and Sita eventually. And then Ram tells Lakshman, we cannot have fun with a demon. So Lakshmana cuts off the ears and nose of Shurpanaka. And Shurpanaka goes to Khardushan and the 14,000 soldiers. And Khardushan sees their sister, nose and ears are disfigured, and she's crying. And they ask her, who did this to you? And Shurpanaka begins to speak about who is her, you know, the person who troubled her, who cut off her ears. And she says, Taruno Rupa Sampanno Sukumaro Mahabalo Pundarika Vishalaksho. Khar says, wait a minute. Are you glorifying your person who has troubled you? Who has cut off your ears and nose? You know, it doesn't look like that person has done anything wrong to you. See, usually if somebody does something wrong to you, you speak very, very bad words. And here, Shurpanaka is glorifying Ram's eyes. She is glorifying Ram's beauty so much. So she says, that's what happened. I was looking at him and I got so stunned that his brother cut off my ears and nose. So, the compassion of Sita, the compassion of Sita that we see in the Ramayana, throughout the whole Ramayana, in the end of the Ramayana when Hanuman comes to give the news to Sita that Ram has killed Ravan, and Hanuman wants to know what to do with these 700 demonesses who are troubling her for 10 months. Sita tells Hanumanji, forgive them. So Hanuman wants to know, how should I kill them? And Sita is telling him, forgive them. So this is the nature of Sita's compassion throughout the Ramayana. But that compassion of Sita builds up into Krishna Leela when Sita, the same personality, the same energy manifests as Radha. So it is explained that Radha is Mahabhava. So it is explained that Krishna is an ocean of happiness. Unalloyed love for Krishna is like an ocean of happiness. And one drop of that ocean can inundate the universe completely. So, if you accumulate all the material and spiritual opulences in one place, that cannot be equal to one particle of the Mahabhav of Radha. This is known as dhana. This is known as wealth, basically. So now, this wealth is only possessed by Radha. Nobody else has this wealth. And it's a very big treasure. Imagine, all the opulences of the material and spiritual world is one particle of the Mahabhava of Radha. It's a very costly thing. It's not an easy asset. Now Krishna, he was thinking, I want that. Obviously, if you want something very valuable that somebody else has, how will you get it? Krishna decided to steal it. But he didn't want to directly go and plunder something that is the highest. Just like if a thief wants to loot a bank. You cannot loot a bank directly. First you practice looting somebody's house. Or before that you practice looting, you know, taking out from somebody's pocket, you know. And you progress little bit further, 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 and finally you come to the stage where you are qualified to loot the bank, right? So Krishna, he thought, I want to steal that wealth, the dhana that Radha has. And therefore he spent his whole lifetime practicing, stealing in other people's houses, here and there, small things, you know, butter and other things. And then finally one day he felt, I'm qualified to steal that which Radha has. And it's explained that Krishna one day entered into the heart of Radha. And in that heart of Radha, he found a box. He opened that box. Inside that box, there's another box. Inside that box, there's another box. Inside that box, there's another box. That means this love, Mahabhav, that Radha has is not easy to access. It is in the deepest core of Radharani's heart. And Krishna, he managed to go to the deepest core of Radha's heart and steal that. When he stole that, something magical happened. Of course, he not only stole it, but he also distributed it to the whole world. I'll tell you what happens when he stole it in a moment. Krishna is a very interesting personality. And we know that Krishna is bent in three forms, three ways, right? Tribhanga, one of that is Krishna's names. And what is the meaning of Tribhanga? It is explained, the Vedas talk about three tattvas, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. And Krishna is bent in three places, and these three places where he is bent indicate Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. So they explained, Krishna is manifesting Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana in the form of three deities. The presiding deity of Sambandha, Sambandha Tattva, is Radha Madana Mohan. The presiding deity of Abhideya Tattva is Radha Govinda Dev. And the presiding deity of Prayojana Tattva is Radha Gopinath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combination of Radha Madana Mohan, Radha Govinda Dev and Radha Gopinath. Krishna is bent in three places. The first bend is at his lotus feet. The second bend is at the left side of his mouth. And the third bend is in his heart. So Krishna has three bends basically. Therefore it's known as Tribhanga. So that means the Sambandha Tattva at the feet is Radha Madana Mohan. Therefore, we meditate on the lotus feet of Radha Madana Mohan. And the Abhideva Tattva is at the mouth, and that is Radha Govinda Dev. So, it is, we meditate on the sweet smile of Radha Govinda Dev, which is bent towards the left. And the Prayojana Tattva is in the heart, which is Radha Gopinath. And we meditate on the heart of Radha Gopinath, which is a little bent, basically. Of course. When I was thinking about this whole thing, I realized this is why His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj has named his prominent deities as these three. Radha Gopinath, Radha Madana Mohan, Radha Govinda Dev. And interestingly, by manifesting these three deities, Radhana Swami Maharaj has given us literally the whole of Vrindavan. So now his contribution towards our lives, our spiritual life is complete. You know? So when we look at the wealth that Krishna stole from Radha's heart, it is explained that everything in this world has a particular color that represents that thing, right? All of us, I don't know if any of you all have heard of the concept of aura. You know, there's something called as aura healing, you know. So every quality in your life is represented by a particular color. White is completely pure, you know, like that. I mean, there are many colors basically. So it is explained that the Lord manifests in different colors, right? We explained about Ram being greenish gold in complexion. That is Aishwarya of the Lord. So Ram being greenish gold, the greenish golden complexion, it represents someone who is filled with the qualities, with divine qualities. He is known as Maryada Purushottam. But if you see that in terms of the colors, every substance in this world has a particular color. There is a color of Shringar Ras. It is explained that Krishna is Shringara Rasaraj. He is the king of conjugal mellows. And the color of Shringar Ras is Shyam Sundar color, the blackish blue color, the color of fresh rain cloud. Therefore, the idea of romance is connected with rains, you know, because the idea of Shringar Ras, the color of the clouds, basically. So, the natural color of Krishna is Shyama Sundar. Now, when Krishna steals Radharani's dhana, the wealth of Radha, there is a transformation that happens. It is explained that prema has a gradual development. The first stage, the first rise of prema is called as rati. When rati becomes more and more condensed, it becomes sneha, then it becomes mana, then it becomes pranaya, then it becomes raga, it becomes anuraga, and then it becomes bhava. And then further bhava becomes what is known as mahabhava. And mahabhava further develops into ruda mahabhava, aniruda mahabhava, madanakhya mahabhava, and then madanakhya mahabhava, it reaches its topmost stage, and it's called, and it reaches a stage is known as anuraga. And anuraga, the color of anuraga is that of a rising sun. Aruna, Aruna Varna, which means, what is the color of the rising sun? It's golden. It starts becoming golden in color. It's reddish first, rati stage is reddish, and then it becomes more and more and more effulgent, and then when the sun rises, it becomes golden in color. And that is the stage of Mahabhava in its highest level. And that is called as Gauravarna. So Krishna, when he steals Radha's heart, when he steals that wealth from Radha's heart, the Mahabhava from Radha's heart, he cannot retain his Shringar Ras. He cannot retain his Shringar complexion. And he has to change his complexion from Shyam Sundar to Gauravarna. And if you actually see that, Acharyas give a very beautiful explanation. He explained, just like there is a green mango, and the green mango eventually becomes a ripe mango, right? So the green mango is Ram, the golden green complexion of Lord Ram. And then as that Ram's complexion ripens and ripens and ripens and ripens and ripens, eventually he forms what is known as Gauravarna. So in between there is a transition of Shyam Varna, basically. So what is this transition? What are these colors changing? The colors changing actually is compassion changing. In Lord Ram Leela, if you see, Lord Ram was very intense on destroying the demons. But Sita was thinking, why destroy the demons? They are also living entities. Let's be compassionate on them. Ram feels Sita doesn't understand only. So Ram was that point in feeling that I will kill without Sita. When Sita is not looking at me, I'll go and kill the demon and come back. So if you see, whatever demons Ram killed, he killed in the absence of Sita. And whenever Sita was there, he either cut off the ears and nose, or at max he blinded that Kakasur, you know, like that he did in front of Sita. But if Sita was there, she would not allow him to kill at all, right? So the compassion that Sita had, Ram, he didn't understand it fully. So therefore it is said, one of the eyes of the Lord is that of the moon, and the other eye of the Lord is that of the sun. But Sita, Radha, both their eyes are moon only. There is no law in their life, there is only love. But Krishna and Ram, there is law also, there is love also. Krishna and Ram, they punish also. But Krishna is thinking, there's something special about Radha which I don't understand. And as he began to understand Radha better and better and better, he realized there is something in Radha that makes her so much superior. And that is Mahabhav. And that leads you to so much love. You cannot look at anybody as a demon. Everyone for you is a devotee. Everyone for you is a pure soul. And Krishna, the moment he stole that from Radha's heart, not only did his color change, but he also his compassion changed. He became so magnanimous, so merciful, that Lord Chaitanya, he never asked anyone, are you qualified to be a devotee? He would just hug them, that's all. They would become devotees. And he went on to the extent of giving mercy to the most unqualified Jagai and Madai also. The same Jagai and Madai whom Ram had killed as Ravan and Kumbhakarna. The same Jagai and Madai that Krishna had killed as Shishupala and Dantavakra. The same Jagai and Madai here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is embracing them, dancing with them, singing with them. Now what a transformation, isn't it? This is the transformation from green to Shyamvarna to the golden Gauravarna. And this is the transformation from Aishwarya to Shringar to the idea of Anuraga Mahabhava. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Of course, one last thought before we end. We are very far from the idea of compassion. We are very, very far from the idea of compassion. We hold so much of hatred in our hearts. We hold so much of envy in our hearts. We hold so much of angst in our hearts. Forget to those who are our enemies, even to those whom we love, we hold so much in our hearts. When we understand the compassion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we understand the growth of the level of compassion in all these great personalities. What we understand, if we are holding these things in our hearts somewhere, the mercy of Srimati Radharani is still missing from our lives. And when we pray to Sita, to Radha, to the energies of the Lord, maybe one day we will also experience compassion and we will be able to experience that love that is there in their hearts to an extent that we don't hate anybody, that we don't carry envy towards anybody, that we don't carry negative feelings towards anybody, and we can live a life that is so much filled with love and compassion. Thank you very much. Dantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.